On with Mario Lopez.
You're all Mario Courtney Lopez returning to the show. Our buddy, Hollywood medium, Tyler Henry. Welcome back, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Always nice to see you. My wife is very excited because she's a big fan.
Yes, I am.
And wanted to personally come in on her day off.
I'm not normally here right now. I'm here in the morning. But I came in just for you and you were worth it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to have you here, and thank you for having me.
Yes, well, your presence at Casa Lopez. And for those who may not be familiar, how do you describe the other side, and how are you able to communicate with it?
Sure. So I really consider the other side to be more of like a realm. Some people call it a place. I call it a realm, basically a continuation of consciousness. And the way that my ability works is basically I just pick up on energy. I believe that we as individuals carry an energy, both when we're here and when we transition. And so I basically just kind of interact with people and get subtle feelings and impressions. Mm. And usually that'll come through like a daydream, or kind of my mind will wander and I'll see something. And oftentimes when I verbalize what I'm kind of feeling, it'll make sense and it will actually validate that someone's coming through.
That's a very well thorough explanation.
Well,
right,
I'm
there.
I'm so captivated. I'm just
scientifically
staring
explained.
At you like a creepy person.
Oh, I love that.
So you said that this is the most emotional season yet.
Yes.
Can you give us any inkling as to what has happened?
Well, you know, it's just been an incredible, incredible season. Every season comes with obviously new experiences, new batch of clients, but I feel like I've really grown in my ability more. And as a person, I feel like I've gotten a lot more confident in what I do. And this season, you kind of see behind the scenes aspects that we haven't really seen in previous seasons. So you'll see kind of how it affects me emotionally and how I kind of deal with it in navigating my personal life as well. And obviously the celebrities, there's lots of tears. A lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And you're currently in production. I mean, you're literally shooting here in the studio as we as we speak.
Yeah. Yep.
Who are some of the celebs you just mentioned that you're going to be reading?
Well, there are not, let me say, too many, but Rebel Wilson was a big one I just did. Mm. That was fabulous. But yeah, stay tuned. There's going to be some pretty big
okay.
ones coming up.
Okay, sounds good. Now, you've got live dates coming up. How does that exactly work?
Not to be confused with dead dates.
Right, right. Thanks, honey. The name of it is Live Lessons I've Learned from the Departed.
Right.
Will these include live readings?
They will. So the live shows are two parts. The first part is just focusing on me sharing what I've learned from over 1,000 readings, what it means to be alive, kind of what I've learned about the meaning of life through all these experiences. And it just kind of helps explain more of what people don't get to see on the show.
Hmm.
And then the second part of the show just focuses on readings. So I go out into the audience, I share impressions, what I'm feeling, I take questions.
Wow.
And it's always very specific. Like I always tell people, I never want a circle to fit a square. If I'm picking up on something, I know that I'm getting it. And every single time it lands in some way in the crowd. So.
Do you ever feel all this pressure, like you can't deliver, or people, they don't come to you? And because, you know, people come to you wanting so many answers and
you
want so
to satisfy,
questions,
sure.
And, of course, absolutely. Yeah. There's some degree of expectation.
Right.
And I found through this work, it's really important in order to connect, to kind of suspend myself from the client's expectation, to really kind of go in and just focus on what I'm seeing, hearing, and feeling. Because if I do focus on what the client wants to hear, it can kind of distract me. It can impede the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that what a person's meant to hear will just come through organically. They don't need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there a way that everyday people, if you will, for lack of a better expression, can communicate with the other side or have some sort of premonitions? Because my wife, for some reason, seems to know when I'm either lying or I'm withholding something.
Yes.
Or that. And so I think she's got a gift.
That's just being a woman. And generally, I think we're just one step ahead of you.
That's just women. That's just intuition. No, but in all seriousness, is there any way someone can develop? I don't know if that's the right word. Develop the skill, if you will. Or is it truly just a gift and either you got it or you don't?
You know, I think everybody has the ability to connect with energy, to feel energy to varying extents. Whether all of us can sit down and do a reading, that might be a different story. But I believe everybody does have the means to be able to feel something more than what our five senses tell us. And I think a big way of doing that is really minimizing distractions. So I really attribute my ability to do readings by not getting distracted, by not getting in my head. And so I kind of have to put myself to the side. When I do a reading, I'm just very present. I try to minimize any distractions. And I think that's really helped me connect. So
I don't even know how you do you meditate? I mean, what would that process be?
It's kind of like a waking meditation. I find when I do readings, I do enter to definitely an altered state of consciousness. There's definitely a change that happens when I start scribbling. And that's kind of my way of meditating. Mm. But it's not like closing my eyes and going
right.
Calm. It's really just kind of more being receptive to maybe things that I'm not normally receptive to.
When you do communicate to the other side, is it generally the same message or is it always different?
Always different. There are some kind of big picture messages that I've kind of learned, you know, through doing over 1,000 readings, and just the importance of like loving one another, respecting one another, living in the moment, trying to, you know, there's some bigger picture ideas that come through, but every message is always very specific and unique to the circumstance.
Do you ever see pets?
Sometimes they do come through. Yes, absolutely. Funny enough, I did a reading for a client in New York, and she handed me a man's bow tie. I was holding on to it, and I'm like, okay, who wears bow ties? It's probably like a grandpa or something. So I'm like, I'll see what comes through. And I heard the name Frank, and it was Frank, Frank, Frank. And I was like, okay, this is weird. It's coming through a little too enthusiastically. I was like, what is this? And she said, it belonged to my dog, Frankie. And she showed me a picture, and her golden retriever used to wear the bow tie I was holding.
Wow.
And it came through, so.
I thought Frankie was talking to you.
Right.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that would have been something.
If dogs can talk in the afterlife, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome, but I haven't heard from one yet, but they definitely are connected to us.
Are there some people that, no matter how hard you try, are just unavailable to connect with?
I would say I have no control over the people that come through. So when I do a reading, it's completely on the other side's terms. I'm really just the vehicle for communication to be relayed if it happens to be there in the first place. So it's really kind of all on their terms, and that's kind of how it works.
And not to get morbid, and this is not to make air, but I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Does it matter if the death is tragic or not? Like if it was a murder, if it was a suicide, does that matter at all?
It can. It definitely, I think, influences the process that they go through. I find that if there is a big amount of trauma in a passing, usually that requires some more degree of processing than maybe a natural process in which someone had the ability to kind of see it coming. So like if someone's, you know, passing away of cancer and they have 6 months to come to terms with it and to think about it and to cope with it, their transition might be a little different than someone who gets plucked from the earth. But I believe we all ultimately do find a sense of peace. I believe that we reunite with loved ones who've passed, and that's kind of a universal idea.
Do you, have you ever solved any crimes?
That's a great question. So
it's a great question.
When I started, you're really good, honey.
Yeah. When I was 16, I started doing this professionally, and I had a ton of outreach from people, just did it through word of mouth. And there would be families that would contact me that had missing family members. And in one case, a woman reached out and I told her what I was feeling, and I felt that her loved one was alive. And then I saw her in a parking garage, and it ends up that this girl, her cousin, was found in that parking garage, like within a 48-hour period after the fact, and she was fine. She just ran away with a boyfriend.
Oh, she was alive.
Yeah, she was good.
Oh, okay.
Not in a trunk.
Okay.
But she was good, and so that was kind of an example where I have, but I definitely sometimes will get feelings like when I see cases on, you know, television or whatever, and sometimes I'll reach out to people and kind of be like, hey, just keep this in mind. Just
sure. There was a TV show, I believe. Didn't Jennifer Love Hewitt have a TV show?
Oh, well, that was Ghost Whisperer, yeah.
She played a medium, didn't she?
She did.
To help solve crimes, essentially.
That's right, and medium also with Patricia Arquette. Also
There's been a couple shows.
There's been a couple shows, right?
When you see people, I believe her name was Sylvia Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Did you believe her?
So Sylvia Brown, to me, doesn't really represent what I do.
Okay.
And I think kind of like the industry as a whole. She was a pretty notable psychic in her time.
Because she would try and solve crimes all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean,
from what I remember.
She would make claims. She would definitely, she was on Montel Williams' show every Wednesday.
Oh, Montel, yeah.
Sometimes watch that.
Routine, okay.
Yeah, you know. And she would claim to come up with things. I just think ego is a big thing with this work. It's very important that as a practitioner of this, that we not get overtly confident or cocky. And I do feel like with her age, she definitely got more about the ego than about helping people.
Hmm.
I feel like that affects the quality of her reading. And so I feel like that probably reflects why she's known how she is.
Can you ever turn it off, Tyler? Can you, let's say you want to go on vacation, you just want to check out, you're tired, you just don't want to hang out and relax.
Like just put away your phone so nobody bothers you. That's what you do.
Right.
But you have a much harder time.
Is that possible?
Well, it's tricky. I have to work in order to relax. So basically I find that as I do this, I kind of get overwhelmed with information if I don't do readings. So I do about 2 to 3 readings. Every 1-2 days, I try to kind of get a reading in. And the reason for that is both to help the person and people, but also to kind of blow off that steam. Huh. So it starts collecting if I don't do readings.
It's kind of like working out.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to get out, got it.
Exactly. So if I take a break and I like take 2 weeks off, go to Hawaii and don't read anyone, about 7 days into that, I'm going to start feeling weird. And I would have to give a reading to somebody in order to kind of feel back to normal. So my max is about a week and a half.
Okay.
If you are in a place like Hawaii or vacationing and just say people aren't aware of who you are, but you feel something, would you go up to people and tell them?
You know, as I've done this more, I found it's very important to have a time and a place. It's kind of like therapy to me. It's like, you know, if you're at the supermarket and your loved one just passed away, is it really going to be viable for a therapist to come up and talk to you for 30 seconds and change your life? It's like,
Yeah, you're chilling, having a Mai Tai, trying to forget about it, and you got this guy come up to you and tell you.
Exactly.
Let me just say, if I was getting fruit and you came up to me, I would be very happy.
I love it. We don't have to get fruit. I'm going to talk to you after.
That's right. That's right. Well, before we get to that, I want to put you on the spot like, you know, I like to do with quick questions, quick answers, okay?
I love it. Okay, I'm ready.
Historical figure you'd like to connect with?
Ooh, Edgar Allan Poe. He's my favorite author. Felt like he had a very deep and kind of heavy life, and it would be fascinating to see how he's doing.
That's a great choice. Favorite reading you've ever done?
Probably Todd Chrisley. Todd and Julie Chrisley, just because he was such a skeptic going into it. Mm. Couldn't have met a bigger skeptic. He was really religious. Mm. Went into it really trying to prove me wrong. And then by the end of it, he just had such a life-changing experience. Yeah. He was so full of gratitude. And to be able to see that transformation and be a part of it was crazy.
Yeah, so. I bet that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
What are you going to be for Halloween this year?
Oh my gosh. You know, I might go as a psychic. I'm going to wear like, a turban, crystal ball, and get the long silver nails.
Biggest misconception about your abilities?
I'd say that I can really see the future for sure, like 100%. I'd say the future is not set in stone. I think a lot of people think psychics can like tell the future concretely. I think if anything, a good intuitive person can kind of get a feeling where things are going, like a trajectory. Mm-hmm. But future is definitely not set in stone. I don't think anyone has the capability to 100% tell the future. But I think intuitive people can definitely get a feeling for where things have a higher likelihood of going based on the current circumstances.
And last question, who do you cast to play Tyler Henry in the movie about your life?
Oh, there needs to be a better looking actor to come into the scene to be able to fit this bill. But
you have cast the net as wide as you can.
Exactly.
Whoever you want.
Well, Haley Joel Osment's a little old and a little fuller.
No, you can do.
Wait, did you want to do Haley Joel just because irony of Sixth Sense?
Natural synergy. It could work out, but
I think you can do better.
I think I can. Yeah, I'll get back to you. Maybe Macaulay Culkin, but I think he's in.
Oh, that's
he's
good.
In a band about pizza or something. He's busy.
Have you gotten that a lot? That's right. Macaulay Culkin. That's right. Very good. Well, always a pleasure to have you, my friend.
Thank you.
On with Mario.com for Tyler's tour dates. You can follow him on Twitter at Ty Henry Medium. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you, Mario.
On with Mario Lopez.